Welcome to Soundprint. I'm Larry Massett, but think how much fun it would be if I suddenly announced, in a squeaky voice, that I was also Robbie the Rabbit, or Attila the Hun. Maybe that would get your attention. There is nothing quite like mental illness for dramatic effect. And over the years, nothing has been quite so popular with audiences as what we call multiple personality disorder, MPD. You know, the three faces of Eve and all that. It's a great excuse for the actors to chew up the scenery. It used to be called schizophrenia sometimes. Now it is said to be one of a class of ailments known as dissociative disorders or dissociative identity disorders. The idea is that because of trauma at an early age, physical or sexual abuse often, a child may begin to disconnect, to dissociate, the extra personalities being a kind of self-protection. The result is not always Oscar material. Thousands of people in America are diagnosed with MPD. One of them is Beth Hafling. She could very well be someone you know. She has a husband, two children, a house in the suburbs, a station wagon, an orderly life, or so it might seem. She's never talked about her disorder in public before, but now, with the help of her friend, Dan Gettyman, she's chosen to tell her story, hoping it might help others to feel less alone, hoping it may help her to live more openly. Our show, from producer Jay Allison, is called Beth's Village, A Portrait of Multiple Personality Disorder.
Let's see. Let's start with something real, just kind of easy going.
Okay, I'm not going to look at you.
Okay, don't look at me. When it's just the two of us together, or unless you're in a real crisis, and I've seen you sometimes in crisis, how many people do I see? Do I talk to?
Just on an average conversation between me and you? 4 to 5.
And I'll just throw out some guesses.
Okay.
And tell me. Beth?
Yeah.
Michelle?
Yeah.
Carol?
Yeah. Shirley and Stacy.
Shirley and Stacy. What about Anne?
Anne doesn't talk to you hardly at all.
Beth and I began talking one afternoon in her house while her kids were at school. We sat in her living room, a tiny space stuffed with furniture, bookcases, and shelves, hundreds of shelves, hanging from the ceiling trapped in fishnet or dangling in handmade wind chimes.
Before you were diagnosed with this, did all these people have names inside you?
Yeah.
You just didn't have a name to give the phenomenon.
Yeah, it was crazy. Was the name I gave it.
I first met Beth in 1987. As we got to know each other, she never seemed crazy to me, although I was always aware there was something different about her. The way she'd look at me sometimes, the way her entire demeanor would change when she took off her glasses, variations in her diction and vocabulary and her quiet spells. I chalked up her behavior to eccentricity and I got used to it. But about a year after we met, Beth began to tell me about how her therapist was talking with her about multiple personality disorder.
I distinctly remember the first time you told me about how your therapist was suggesting this, and I remember you just being aghast, you know.
Well, the first time she told me, that was grounds for termination in my eyes. I never wanted to see her again, my therapist. She said, I have diagnosed you with multiple personality disorder, and I thought that she did that because she wanted to be famous or rich or something. She wanted to be another Cornelia Wilbur, or, you know. And I surely didn't see myself as Sybil.
I'm trying to remember. Did you see Sybil before you, or read it before you?
I saw Sybil years ago.
Do you have any recollection of connecting with it at all? Or?
Seeing Sybil was the first time that I ever thought, wow, other people have people who live in their heads. But then I saw how crazy she was portrayed in the movie, and that was the end of that. Well, the movie focused on her dysfunction. The movie did not focus on how Sybil having multiple personalities kept her alive.
As my friendship with Beth grew, she began to trust me with more and more of her childhood history, a history of appalling abuse, torture, and rape at the hands of family members and others. Her mind protected itself from these events by fragmenting, compartmentalizing the terrible experiences. It wasn't until many years later that Beth's memories of abuse began to emerge. She successfully prosecuted one of her perpetrators, her stepfather, and subsequently went into therapy. There she was diagnosed with multiple personality disorder.
I think the clincher for starting to believe this diagnosis business of MPD was when I heard alters speaking in therapy that I wasn't aware of.
And how did you hear them?
Well, I requested that all my sessions be audio taped because I was aware that I would leave the session and not know what had just happened for those 2 hours. Add on to that, the seeing people in the malls coming up to me, calling me by different names, finding things in my house that I didn't remember I bought, and just chalking it up to being ditzy or something. And when I started combining all these things together, and also with talking to my husband or to my friends, saying, hey, do I act a little funny sometimes, you know?
What did Fred say? What did your husband say?
He would talk about times that he said I would go crazy. Times that I didn't remember. Charlie, an alter inside, who punishes us, all of us, for speaking, for voicing an opinion, for telling of the past. He punishes us, and it always starts out very verbal. He's very verbally abusive, but if that doesn't work, then he moves to physical abuse. And what would happen, what my husband would see, was my fist hitting myself in the head, on my chest, on my legs, on my arms, and beating myself till bruises and welts started to appear. Or he would see these things. I never knew that anything like that ever occurred.
A final moment of recognition came for Beth when one of her alters, a small child, began speaking up in therapy and told of living in a tiny attic, sleeping on the insulation, of being beaten whenever she cried out, and how she clenched her teeth on the floor joists just to keep from crying. Beth herself had no memory of this, so her therapist took her back to the house where she was raised, now owned by another family, and together they went into the attic and found those floor joists, chewed away. After that event, Beth found it very difficult not to accept her diagnosis, and she redoubled her efforts in therapy in the hopes of achieving some peace within herself by confronting what was inside. Making this tape was part of that effort. When Beth decided she wanted to talk about her MPD, I loaned her a tape recorder, and whenever her husband and children weren't around, and it was quiet in the house, she began taping.
Hi, my name's Beth, and I'm the host for The Body. I don't feel that having multiple personalities is a disorder. I think it's making order out of disarray. We couldn't have survived the extreme abuse that we've suffered if we didn't have multiple personalities. I'd like to talk a little bit about my village, and that's what I call all of us. All of us that live within me, we're isolated, we're our own tribe. Most of the world doesn't get to see us. I don't really know how to explain to you how it feels to have others living inside of me. It's always noisy. That's one thing. Before I started therapy, there were a lot of blank times, blank spaces. The feelings were of being blindfolded, having my ears plugged, no sense of smell, and being closed in a closet somewhere. When I wasn't out, and someone else inside was, that was my feeling. That was my experience. But what happens now is that with this being aware, it's like sitting in the back of a police car or something like that, where I'm no longer in the driver's seat. I can see everything that's going on, but there's this glass, thick glass partition in between that I can't get up there. I'm stuck. I know everything that's happening. I can hear everything. I can see everything. But the outside world can't hear me. I can't get to the outside world. I can't stand all these voices in my head. Sometimes I just want to just rip them out somehow. But occasionally, it'd be quiet inside and it scares me to death. I can't think of an analogy that would do it justice. Maybe if you had a pool in your backyard and your children were swimming and playing in the pool, making lots of noise, frolicking about, splashing, and you were going about your business, say you were washing dishes or cleaning windows or something, and all of a sudden a dead calmness came over. There was no noise. You didn't think they had gotten out of the pool. What if they've drowned? What if they're dead? That's what it feels like to me when it gets quiet inside. Self-mutilation occurred with us for several different reasons. Shame being first and foremost, I think. Needing to be punished for being bad. There's also been a mutilation when we are numb and unable to feel anything at all. If we could feel something that included pain, then it was worth it. It's very complicated in that there was much fulfillment if we were the ones that caused pain or scarring or bleeding to this body. We chose when to do it. We chose when to stop it. It's different than when we were raised, where we were hurt. We never knew when it was coming. We never knew how long it was going to last. We never knew how severe it was going to get. We didn't know if we were going to live or die from it. So to take this in our own hands, so to speak, and be in control of it was very rewarding. I guess I'll talk about how I feel about my children knowing I have MPD. I have two girls, one's 6 and one's 10. And neither of them have ever formally been told that I have multiple personalities. I think they would feel relieved if they were told. They pretty much know it already. They just probably don't know what it's called. My feelings are that I don't want them to be told, because I'm still in this, my mindset's still in that I'm crazy. And then they'll know their mother's crazy. I'm demented. I'm ill. I'm sick.
and I don't want them to have the same ideas about their mom as I have about myself. The flip side of that is that they may be thinking that already, and if they knew of my condition, it might explain a lot to them.
Maybe I'm some sort of Frankenstein. I'm made up of a bunch of pieces. Each part of me wants to do its own thing. One wants to go play. One wants to cut our flesh off. One wants to bake cookies for the kids. One thinks the car needs a tune-up.
I'm going to give you a partial list of my alters' names. It'd just be the names, no descriptions or anything. Baby Lizzie, Sarah, Nadine, Margaret, Chelsea, Elizabeth, Richard, Dr. Julia Cooper, Frenchie, Smartass, Billy, Screamer, Ann Smith, Beth Ann, Susan, Carol Johnson.
When I first noticed Mrs. Beth's Privet, different personalities emerging, skeptic, it was frightening. Amanda, now I'm used to it and I barely notice when it's happening. Francis, in the same way you come to ignore a friend's speech impediment or nervous tic. But when I notice her switching, the first thing I notice are her eyes. They tell me I'm dealing with someone else. Some alters stare at me, some look away, and some seem to look right through me. Another clue is her eyeglasses. Some alters wear them, and some don't. Sure. Just like some alters are right-handed, while most write with their left.
Poet.
If I get a card or a letter from Beth, it's Tamara, often written in longhand, Maggie, sometimes with 5 to 10 Stephanie, completely different types of handwriting.
Tracy, Jake, Kim, Courtney, Little Bits, Susie, Charlie, Kelly, Samuel, Mercy.
My name's Mickey.
Phil.
I make sure Beth, nobody Kathleen, gets hurt.
Catherine.
I take care of Charlie, the older ones.
Mary Beth.
Beth's always Ron, getting herself in trouble Michelle, with her mouth. Always talking off.
Hello.
And everything.
There's I'm going to sing you a song that
in,
Stephanie wrote. It's a good song, but it's kind of gross and sad, but I'll sing it to you. One, two, he comes into my room. Three, four, didn't even close my door.
She's a fraud.
Five, six,
sympathy getter, that's what she wants. Attention. She wouldn't be doing all this if she didn't want attention.
I'd go away, but I don't know how.
He screams is what he does. So he, she, it, I don't know what to tell you.
No more. Five, six,
I can't quit laughing.
He screams a lot inside.
Hey. That's what I'm talking about. You listen, you don't have no goddamn disorder.
I'm not gonna cry like a baby this time, okay? I won't. I promise I won't.
I can't quit laughing.
I tried so hard.
You messed up. You hear?
From my bed before it's too late.
It sounds louder on the inside.
There's no way I can win. One, two. Nothing else to do. Three, four, I have to exit through my door. Five, six, I'll find it inside my head so sick. Seven, eight, I learned how to escape. Nine, ten, into my own land of pretend. That's all of that song.
The whole house is filled with seashells. And I love them because they protect me. I have them all over my cabinets. I have them all on my shelves. I have them hanging from my ceiling. And I have pictures of them on the walls. And I wear shell jewelry and earrings. And They're havens. They're strong, protecting havens. That's what I wish I could be. I wish I could be a seashell to protect innocence.
Mary, David, Runner, Talker, Tulip, Janet, Mickey, Julie. There are more, but those are the only ones we feel comfortable enough to list.
Much of the time, Beth's switching is seamless. The difference between many of her alters is subtle, with the notable exception of the children and the men. When I'm with Beth, I mostly see adult women, and occasionally little girls. I've only seen her male alters twice, once at a birthday party I threw for her when a teenage boy came out to thank me for a present, and the other time she was in crisis. Crises are unusual for Beth. They seem to happen only around the anniversaries of particularly traumatic events from her childhood. At these times of year, I can pretty much be assured that if I see her, I'll meet several different alters, especially children, since they're the ones who hold the memories of the abuse that she's re-experiencing. These re-experiences, or abreactions, are absolutely real to her while they're happening. During one of these episodes, Beth became frightened to be alone, and with her husband stuck at work, I stayed with her. She had told me before about how she would get into the pool when she was upset, no matter how cold it was out, and splash until she wore herself out physically so she wouldn't have to turn to more destructive behavior. She did this on the day I was with her, and over the violent splashing, I heard a low-pitched, guttural scream. It sounded like an animal in agony. It was Beth. After she came back in, dripping wet, a child alter emerged. I had to tuck her into bed in the middle of the afternoon and look all around the house because she was hysterical over a lost stuffed animal. Shortly afterwards, the front door opened and her eldest daughter came in. Beth looked at me with horror in her eyes, grabbed my arm, and pulled me in the other room. Her daughter wasn't supposed to be home this early, and Beth was terrified to be seen in this condition, switching in and out of personalities at a feverish clip, completely out of her own control. We went back in the living room, and Beth made a valiant effort to be a responsible mom and ask questions about how her daughter's lunch was, what her homework was like. But I could see the intense effort this took, this stab at normalcy. At times, she'd leave the kitchen to regroup, talk to herself a bit, and then come back to her daughter, her voice faltering, to resume the role of mother a while longer.
I've spent a great many years of my life trying desperately to fake not being many people. I'd rather be known as a liar than someone with multiple personalities. I know of times that we have lied. That's built into being someone with MPD. And I'll tell you why. You have to lie to protect yourself. You have to lie. You have to smile and say, "I love you, Daddy," as he's raping you. You have to lie to explain your bruises and your cuts. You have to lie to protect whoever's out. If I switch and I don't know what's going on in the room, I don't know the conversation that I'm having with someone, I have to lie to cover that. And most of all, I lie to myself. I lie and say that I made this all up, when I know in my heart I didn't. And I wish so much that I were lying. But I'm not. You're hearing who I am. I've dedicated so much time of my life to trying to pretend to be one person. I just am who we are.
It's been over 2 years since Beth began making these tapes. During that time, she's experienced several personality integrations, merging two or more personalities into one. This was accomplished by breaking down the barriers between her alters and allowing them to experience each other and their histories. So far, Beth is pleased with her progress, but unlike some MPD patients, she isn't aiming for total integration of her personalities, at least not at this time. Instead, her goal in therapy has been better communication between her alters, co-consciousness in MPD jargon, to reduce the chaos and make her daily life more manageable. Her husband accepts her condition, and he's a great help to her. But Beth is still not revealing the details of her MPD to her young children. Of course, they're aware of her behavior, and while she attempts to remain consistent with them, sometimes, for example, her child alters will emerge to play with her daughters, or occasionally grant them wishes that an adult personality wouldn't allow. Publicly, Beth has begun coming out with her MPD. A few years ago, she started publishing a newsletter for people with MPD called BEAM, Being Energetic About Multiplicity, which she now sends to a mailing list which includes subscribers in 7 countries. But there are risks to all this revelation.
You know, the irony of getting better, you know, I mean, I feel much worse. The more progress, my therapist calls it, that I make, the worse I feel. The more I know, the more co-conscious I become, the worse I feel.
What positive has come out of this self-knowledge and the therapy and knowing all the things you know now? Anything?
God, I'm going to have to think about this. What positive? I'm sure there are some things, but I tell you, nothing's jumping out at me. Well, for one thing that's positive, I know who the good guys and the bad guys are now. There aren't any fantasies about my family anymore. That's a strange kind of positive thing.
Which at very least keeps you from more abuse.
It keeps me safer, yeah.
Safer maybe, but not safe. When I first sent her a copy of the script for this radio piece, she sent back a fax with her notes, the last of which was written in a child scrawl. Telling is bad, and I'll get in trouble. But then came her signature, written as it always is these days, bravely I think, Beth Plus.
Beth's Village, A Portrait of Multiple Personality Disorder, was produced by Jay Allison and Dan Gettiman with Christina Egloff as part of Jay Allison's Life Stories series, funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. If you would like to get more information on this subject from us over the internet, send your email to soundprint@american.edu and include the initials MPD for Multiple Personality Disorder in your subject field. We'll send you an automatic reply. Soundprint is produced by the Soundprint Media Center in association with WAMU at the American University. Today's program is funded in part by the National Endowment for the Arts. Additional support is provided by this and other NPR member stations and the NPR Information Fund, whose contributors include the Public Welfare Foundation. Write us with your ideas and comments. Write Soundprint, 4000 Brandywine Street, Northwest, Suite 620, Washington, D.C., 20016. Cassettes are $12.50. If you'd like to order a cassette with a credit card, call us at 202-885-1285. That's 202-885-1285. Our email address again is soundprint@american.edu. Soundprint is technical director Anna Maria De Freitas, studio engineer Robin Wise, and production assistant Francesca Raymond. Our executive producer is Moira Rankin. I'm Larry Massett. This is NPR, National Public Radio.